If there's someone here who's new, you're very welcome. We're looking at Colossians chapter 2. Page number is on the board above me here, 1183. There's a lot of words, a lot of ideas in this section that need thinking about. I'll read it through, and I hope as I then talk about it, it'll be clear. So don't panic if you start to feel it. It's a bit like a sea of words and ideas. I hope it will be clear when we thought about it. So chapter 2, verse 6. This is a letter in the New Testament. So it's written by one of Jesus' servants. He's writing to Christian believers. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I wonder if you are one of the people here. I think there's some people here who are not yet believers. Perhaps you're coming to church because you want to find God. You want to feel close to God. Maybe you want his guidance for life. You want connection with the spiritual. Many of us are already believers in Jesus. The question for you is, do you feel really close to Jesus? Do you feel like you've got a vital, living relationship with Jesus every day? Is your prayer life deep and refreshing? Does it seem like Jesus is with you and close to you? You probably want a better connection with what is spiritual. Those of us who are believers might say, I go to church, I read my Bible, I do the things I'm supposed to do, but it doesn't seem to be making much difference. It doesn't feel like life is changing. I don't feel like it's working. I want to think about that question of being more spiritual, being in touch with the spiritual part of the universe today. We're taking a 1 week break from our regular series that we're looking at in Matthew's Gospel on a Sunday morning. And because it's this special one-off topic, as you've already heard, we've got a lunch afterwards, followed by a time to think a bit more about this topic and some a chance to ask questions about the topic of being spiritual. I've got a slide here with my telephone number on. If you want to send a question by text, because you're shy about putting your hand up, or you want to take time to write the question out, do text it to me, and someone will help me read my phone so that I'll be able to answer those questions. Okay? My daughter will probably help. Phyllis. That's useless, isn't it? It's 07903-715456. Yeah, there's a five after the one. Well done. Thank you. That's really helpful. That is really unhelpful, isn't it? That would have been really frustrating. Sorry, there's a five. It's 715456. I'm afraid they can't put that in, probably. So we've got here a letter from Paul to some early Christians. They lived in a place called Colossae. That's why they're called Colossians. And at this part, Paul teaches them and he warns them. He gives instruction and he says, watch out. So here's the teaching or instruction, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. That's the teaching. We got the slide there. Continue with Christ. Carry on as you started your Christian life. Just as you receive Christ, continue being strengthened in faith. And then the warning. Watch out for people who are not teaching the truth of Jesus. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through the hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Don't be deceived by teaching not based on Christ. It's up on the slide there, on the screen. He says these people are teaching things that are based on human traditions or based on elemental spiritual forces. Now, it's not clear what Paul means by that, but whatever it means, the important thing is it's not based on Christ. He says that in verse 8. So the teaching fits with the warning. The warning matches the teaching. The teaching for spiritual life says, as you began with Christ, continue with Christ. The warning about false spiritual living says, avoid any teaching that's not based on Christ. Very clear, I hope. That part. Yeah. Stay with Christ. Don't listen to those who are teaching something not based on Christ. Now, you might think, well, how can there be good and bad versions of being spiritual? How does the category even exist, the category of bad spirituality? Isn't being spiritual just my own personal thing? We can all go on our own journeys, just like going out for the day. You get on the tube and go into London. I get on the bus and go into the countryside or to the seaside. It's all okay for it to do that, isn't it? Not in this area of life. Some ways take you to God, and some ways take you away. Some ways lead to life, and some ways lead to death. So it does matter which you pick. Look at what Paul says about this dangerous teaching, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. Hollow and deceptive. Hollow means empty, nothing in it. It's got no value, no real content, lacking in real basis. Can't do you good. It looks good, but it's deceptive. Hollow and deceptive. When I'm deceived, I'm believing something that is not true. I'm deceived when I believe that a lie is true. So someone tells me, Joel, you get on the number 5 bus, it'll take you to Heathrow. I get on the bus with my bag and my passport, thinking, great, I'm going to get to the airport. I have been deceived. I think it's true, but it is not. And I'm going in the wrong direction. So it's Paul's instruction. Stay with Christ. Don't be deceived by teaching that's not based on Christ. It's going to say why. Verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity, that's God, all of God, in Christ all the fullness of the deity, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. What does it say about Christ? God is in Christ, all of God. There it's on the screen above me. All God's fullness is in Christ. That is the reason Paul says that we stick with Christ and avoid teaching that goes away from Christ. Saying Christ wasn't partly God. In the Old Testament, God lived with his Old Testament people in a tent. They were in a great refugee camp in the desert, but they moved their camp from time to time, and God's tent was in the middle of that camp. He lived there, in that tent. But now God lives in Christ, all of God. So that's who Christ is. But also what we have in Christ. Believers have fullness in Christ. Look again at verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity of God lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Now, Paul writes, this is where it gets quite tricky to follow. I'm not going to explain everything about the next section, but in the next section he gives a list of some of the things that have happened to believers by being with Christ. All God's fullness is in Christ, it says above me. You have fullness in Christ. Verse 11, in him you were also circumcised. Now, circumcision in the Old Testament was a procedure done to men and boys. It's not like FGM that we hear about, done as a crime against women. It's a sign of belonging to God for the men and the boys. It means real change. It says, verse 11, in him you're also circumcised with a circumcision not done by human hands. So a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. My old way, the former ruler of my life, has been put off. The next thing, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. So baptism here is the idea of a new start. Our old ways don't rule us anymore. We are raised with Jesus. Is that not? Can we have those on the screen, please? The old self replaced, that circumcision, raised with him, that's baptism. With him you were spiritually alive, verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. So alive with him. Next one, you are forgiven. Next part of that verse, verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us our sins. And Joel and Sophie earlier showed how that happened by the swapping of places. That Jesus came into our world, into our place. He suffered our death so that we could then have his place of being forgiven and accepted. And then verse 15, we're safe from spirit powers. Having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them. They are no danger to believers. Okay, a long list of things. I just want you to grab the main point that's at the top there. All of the fullness of God is in Jesus. And if you're a believer, you have fullness in Jesus. That's the teaching. That's why we stay with what we've heard about Christ. Next slide, please. You have all God's fullness is in Christ, so continue with Christ. Don't be deceived by teaching not based on Christ. Now, we're trying to help you to remember this. Each week in 2025, in church on a Sunday, we're having a little stop where we're trying to think about our sin or about God's forgiveness and about what those things are. If you come later than 10:40, you'll miss that. So this morning, that was the drama that Joel and Sophie did. Last week, Rob and Anne did a little drama, trying to do something different every week to help us think about that. We want to keep relying on Christ. Because at the end of the day, it's not coming to church that makes you safe. It's not how good a teacher I am, or the vicar, you know, any vicar is. It's you being connected to Jesus. And that's what we're trying to help everyone with here at DPC. So, top of the slide, left of the slide, all God's fullness is in Christ. So, continue with Christ. All God's fullness of God is in Christ. So, don't be deceived by teaching that's not based on Christ. Therefore, because of this, what? Time for you to do some work. What are the instructions in verse 16 and 18? What does it say we're to do because of this? Verse 16. What does it say we must do? Not let anyone judge you. Thank you. That's verse 16. And verse 18, slightly harder to find what the instruction is there. What are we told to do in verse 18? Don't be disqualified. So don't let anyone who delights in false humility, the worship of angels, disqualify you. So, Anil has just switched the slide. Can you see how it's changed above now? Don't accept judgment about you that's not based on Christ. That's the deceptive teaching that will stop your spiritual growth. When you accept judgments others make on you that are not based on Christ, that will stop your spiritual growth. It might even stop your spiritual life. Let's think about these. Don't let anyone judge you. What Paul is saying there, he's not telling us to prevent people having a judgmental attitude. Not about that. He's not saying don't let them have a judgmental attitude. He's not saying silence them, shut them down. No platform them so they can't say anything. He's not saying that. What he's saying is don't agree in your head and your heart when they condemn you in their assessment. When they dismiss your religion as second rate, don't fall for it. Don't start worrying. Don't wonder, how can I be better like them? What are they doing that I'm not doing? So see, look at that verse 16. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. Don't let people who are doing these things lead you to think, oh, I'm no good. I'm not safe. My religion's not good enough. Don't go along with that. It's like they're the TV presenter on one of those TV shows where there's a competition and the judge says you're out, go. You know, they leave the program. They're not on the next episode. Don't let people do that to you in your spiritual living. Giving into wrong judgments sends us down the wrong road, a road that takes us away from spiritual life. Now, the things I've just read from verse 16, eating, drinking, religious festivals, new moon celebration, they seem irrelevant today. They're Old Testament teachings. Is anyone going to criticize me or you for not following these? But this is the sort of thing that can threaten our Christian faith and shift us from relying on Christ. You might think, well, what's wrong with people being really keen and having some rules? It shows they're committed. It shows they're sincere. In fact, there's evidence that particularly young men are turning away from the church to Islam because Islam's got tough rules and it feels manly to keep tough rules. Well, look at verse 17. It says what's wrong. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Saying those Old Testament rules, they were only a shadow to make ready for Jesus. But now Jesus has come. So why would you go back to those? Now Jesus has come. Here are some possible modern examples. Religious rules. People will give you the impression you fail when you don't avoid certain foods. Are you eating that? Didn't you know it's Lent? Didn't you know it's Friday? How can you be eating that food today? And they will. You'll get a sense of condemnation. Next one. Some people want to have a bath before church. Not bath before church. Didn't you know you have to do that? How can you come to church not doing that? Next one. Only you must have one day a week off. These are rules that they follow. And when you see them following those rules, you feel inadequate as a believer. Because you've not got that. It's like they're saying, hop on this bus, come on this way, and we'll get a better life with God. But if you're a believer in Jesus, you have fullness in Christ already. You have it. Now let me give you maybe an example that's more practical here in Dagenham Parish Church. The end of last year, I encouraged you to read more of the Bible this year by using some Bible reading plans. Now imagine I've managed to sneak into a couple of people's homes and seen their Bible reading plan. Here's one of them. You see, they're up to date. No, they're not actually. They've only done 3 and a bit weeks, and we're 6 weeks into the year. So they've only done 3 and a bit weeks. Let's look at the other plan from the other house. Look, they're actually doing the Old Testament and the New Testament. You see how much they've covered? They're already into week 7 on both of them. Look at those coffee stains on that plan that shows, you know, they're serious about this. They're getting up early. They're drinking their coffee, reading their Bible. How can we do it? Which of these is the better? Let's put them side by side. Which of these shows one of them's which is the better? You might think the right one. It looks like it, doesn't it? But we can't tell. We can't tell. Because why are we reading our Bibles? We're not reading our Bibles so that we can fill in our tick list. I'm not collecting these at the end of the year and giving stickers. Okay, we are reading our Bibles because through the Bible we trust we hear God's voice. And if, like me, the other day you find yourself not concentrating on the Bible, you might need to put it down and spend some time praying instead of reading the passage for that day. So there's a danger that even what we're doing here, you're trying to do something good and helpful, can become something that is unhelpful for our spirituality, because we come focused on ticking the boxes, not on the life we have with God. Does it make sense? So if you're using that plan, keep using it, but not just to tick the boxes. Use it to help you get through reading more of the Bible in a thoughtful way. So the next warning in verse 18 is similar. Don't be disqualified. It's similar. Verse 18. Don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Again, it's a warning against being controlled by other people's view of us. Don't give in to the idea that if you're just a follower of Jesus, then it's not enough. Don't give in to the idea if you're only a believer in Jesus, trying to pray and love other Christians, you're second rate. Let's look at what these people are doing. Verse 18. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Delighting in false humility. They like to look humble and ordinary. But we'll see, they actually like to spend a lot of time talking about their experiences. It's not real humility. They worship angels. Or it could be that they worship in the way that angels worship. Whatever it means, when they go to their church, it's so much better than ours. And it makes us feel rubbish when we hear them talk about it. We feel disqualified. They have visions. Verse 18 again. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person goes into great detail about what they have seen. Now, God may give some people visions, but there's no promise he will. He doesn't say that's normal. And there is nowhere in the Bible that says a person who has visions is further down the road than the rest of us who don't. See, for all their delight in their humility and their super worship and the visions they've seen, what does Paul say about them? Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person goes into great detail about what they've seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual minds. Puffed up. And the air that puffs them up is empty, hollow. It's actually unspiritual. Often these people would like to say, God told me a message about you, and they'll have a special message for you. And they have a message from a God who's preoccupied with their preoccupations, and perhaps with your preoccupations. You'll find they don't have a message from a God who sent his Son into the world to suffer a terrible death for the forgiveness of sins of all humans. That's a God worth listening to, isn't it? But you need to hear a God who's going to tell you about which job to apply to, or which bus to take, or which aeroplane to fly on. Is that the God you want to know? Or do you want to know the God whose Son came into the world to suffer for sinners so that you can have a place with him in heaven? They believe themselves to be more spiritual than us. But look what it says in verse 19. They have lost connection with the head. Who do you think the head is? Yeah, they've lost connection with Jesus. Don't let those people disqualify you. Don't let what they think, their assessment, make you think, I'm inadequate. My church is not good enough. My life is lost and going the wrong way. I must have what they have. Don't be disqualified by them. Now again, here's an effort to think of some examples today. There's the religious rules, experiences and special worship that can make us feel disqualified. You're unspiritual, they'll say, or they'll imply, if you don't speak in tongues. Now if you don't know from the Bible what that's meaning, that's where God enables some people to speak in languages they've not learned. The Bible calls it speaking in tongues. But there is no... there's no message in the Bible that's advanced, you know, a higher level of connection with God than what we've got. No sense of that. You don't have dreams from God. Don't have dreams from God here. Dagenham Parish Church, we don't have people talking about their dreams. And then the last one, you don't cry when you sing hymns. Can't really mean them, can you? You don't have enough emotion. Okay, these are the sorts of things that can make us feel disqualified because we don't have these experiences. We don't have this kind of special worship. Now, these people would agree, yeah, Jesus came into the world. Yes, he died for sin and he rose from the dead. Yes, there is a heaven and a hell in the future. We agree with you at Dagenham Parish about all of those things. But come with us and add more on. Come and join us with these rules. Come and have these experiences that we have and get further along. And what does Paul say? No. They've lost connection with Christ. Because all of God's fullness is in Christ. And if you're a person, a believer, who's simply believing in Christ, you have fullness in Christ. Now, if I had time, we'd go back and look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 that Steve read, but it's a similar sort of message. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Paul is saying to the Old... Moses is saying to the Old Testament people, remember what it was like when I gathered you before me, you heard God's voice, but you didn't see anything. Make sure you stick with that message you heard. Don't start trying to add to that with sculptures and statues. Don't bow down to any statues. It can look religious. It can look more advanced, but you just carry on being the people of the Word. The living God has spoken. You don't need pictures of him, even if other people do say you need them. It's a similar sort of Old Testament version of this. We don't need special techniques here. You don't need to follow a special Christian program. We don't need a choir. We don't need a special training series that's going to take us a step on from being the people who hear God's voice in his word, seek to pray to him, try to love one another, and speak to outsiders about Jesus. If you've got Christ, you've got everything. Why would you, to go back to my illustration, get on the wrong bus and go the wrong way? So here we go. All of God's fullness is in Christ. So continue with Christ. And don't accept judgments about you that are not based on Christ. Watch very carefully for people who are trying to tell you there are special practices you can do that will somehow make you a better person. There is no shortcut, fast track, simple upgrade to carrying on this walk of the Christian life that we've begun if we're believers. So how do we grow? Look at chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The last slide is got most of my telephone number in, but not all of it. 07903. Can you Mark might be able to fiddle with that. If I for a moment I'll flannel at the front. When Mark's corrected that, if you want to text or if you've got a question in mind and you want to bring it along to the lunch, you might have questions. And I'd love to try and answer those. You might have questions about spiritual gifts, because I've not talked about that, or the fruit of the Spirit, not talked about that, I'm happy to talk about that, or something from this passage that has been unclear. Wow, that was quick. There you go, 07903 715 456. If you want to text the question, rather than putting your hand up and saying something, but if you're brave enough to do that, that's fine. Okay, that's how to be spiritual. It's very surprising, isn't it, in a way? But I hope you've seen that what I've said is from the Bible. But do bring your questions to lunch or to me immediately afterwards. Let's have a pray. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you that you speak to us here in the Bible, telling us that we have fullness in Christ, old life left behind, new life begun, forgiveness of sins, safety from spiritual forces. We have all these things in Christ. We thank you as well for the warning that we might hear other voices telling us about rules to keep or feelings and experiences that will somehow take us further. Lord, please don't let us be deceived and go along with things that lead us away from life with you. Amen.